Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome back to More Than That. So I am sitting across from, once again, Rafael Mkandla after he just got back from his trip in Africa. So Rafael, how was it? First of all, give us an update on your trip. Like, you went on, what was it for? What was it? Where'd you go? You actually dive into your 10 minutes of what you would have introduced next or in addition to in your sermon.
With that, I traveled with World Vision, and so that's like really, so I traveled with a couple of pastors, 13 to be precise, and our main thing was to go and really just trying to see what church partnerships have done on the ground. And so it was really just more like an educational trip, where we were getting to see, just the work that World Vision has done on the ground. So there's a couple of like just amazing highlights. Some of the churches we traveled with were doing child sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
So the World Vision has this amazing program where it's called Chosen. And so I wanted to see what it's like before I even ever think about maybe introducing it to our church.
Yeah.
And so, so this was a vision trip. So they do something like where instead of actually, you know how, for example, like they would always kind of show up and they'll give you packets where you sponsor mm-hmm. a child.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, they do it totally different. The church instead is the one which takes pictures and said, I want to sponsor a child.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then what they do is that, like, they take these pictures, they go and they put them, like, and so in these remote areas, and the children get to walk up to a whole wall full of pictures and they get chosen. They get chosen.
So the children pick who get to sponsor them.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
So it was cool. Just the reason why it was back to back. I was traveling with pastors that, like, some of them, they and if I was to ever do it, this is how at least it works. You do a chosen event at your church,
mm-hmm.
Where at least, like, you bring in people. So within our church, and then we, and it's really just like we get to hear why it's important to invest in children, why it's important to invest in societies, of which I'm going to talk about that here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, like, people say, yes, I want to sponsor a child. I want to be part of doing that. Okay. All right. So since you want to do that, so from there, you leave your church, you get on a plane, you fly, you get on the ground, and then literally you see all the pictures of the people in your church,
mm-hmm.
and you see children actually being, they're choosing people, so that when you come back, I came back on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and you come back, now you've got literally like, hey, you were chosen by this child. You were chosen by this child. And so there's just something amazing about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that child sponsorship. But we also got to spend some time on the ground, getting to see number one, just like some of the developments that, like, community development things that they do. For example, like where, number one, they get to drill wells.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we visited a family, for example, just really family that was, this family hadn't even eaten for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
We found out when we got there. And then we're asking them, hey, where do you get your water? Where is it? And so we actually walked, a little bit ways to go and get where they get water. And And it was just a hole on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was murky and it was dirty. And so we actually helped carry the water back. And just really getting to see that's actually where all the waterborne diseases were basically just families are constantly just like sick because of that. So because of the waterborne diseases. So they do quite a lot of like education in the schools. So we got to visit some schools to see how they educate them on how do you clean water, how do you get dirty water, make it clean, like, and at least try to avoid airborne diseases or mm-hmm. waterborne diseases like that. And then as well as like got to visit just like some families that they have helped. Just instead of, you know, you've heard the saying, do not give men a fish, teach him how to fish.
Yep.
So, for example, like just getting to meet some families that, so for example, World Vision would give them, let's say, 5 goats for a year and ask mm-hmm. them to multiply those goats. And then by the end of that year, so we've visited a family, 2 families actually. One of them was given 5 goats and over a couple of years, now they've got 70 goats and mm-hmm. they take those goats, they sell them. So those goats give them milk. So that means nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
But then they multiply, they sell some of the goats, they buy cows,
mm-hmm.
Sell some of the, and then just basically just do business from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was amazing to get to sit through and hear, see heartbreaking stories, but then see some success stories. And then also for sanitation stuff, you know, getting to see some of the, so they usually use pit latrines. We got to see just at least a couple of buildings that have been built specifically in schools to help like toilets, like normal toilets, so that basically like when kids have menstrual accidents or so that they're not stepping on, the toilets are clean so that they're not getting now like even those diseases, like because the kids would pee on the floor and do all that stuff and
mm-hmm.
and just like everything is just it was a mess. So, and then getting to visit also some clinics that they've, you know, within like just clinics, because like these are remote areas that have no clinics whatsoever
mm-hmm.
or hospitals. And so just getting to see humanity investment, Christian investments to humanity thriving. That's really what it was very helpful, but very heartbreaking at the same time to see.
Yeah.
Maybe things we take for granted. So it was good. Mm-hmm. At the same time, also just like very impactful for me because, you know, I had to live between the city and the rural. So some of this was like, this is me.
Because it wasn't like a typical, like, from my understanding of your upbringing and where you lived, it wasn't like what we consider like suburbia. It was like kind of that type of area,
but it didn't have the affluence
necessarily that we would in America consider suburbia.
Yeah, but, so it was a mixture. So mm-hmm. my growth was a mixture of that.
Okay.
This is where you would be sent when my mom and dad couldn't take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it was just like, hey, so for a couple of years in life, this was what my life looked
like.
This
was me. Yeah.
This was me. So, So it was very helpful, very, you know, once again, just getting to see the joy in people's lives and then getting to see, this is what it can look like to make an impact, to people that, as people, especially coming from here.
So, with the sermon though, like you got to work with children, back in Africa over the past week, and then you got to come back home and preach on children. So if you were to kind of, maybe you don't have to like incorporate that necessarily, but if you were going to introduce something different in the sermon, as an addition to what you already had in your notes, or maybe even what you had in your notes, or just like dove a little bit deeper, what would you have said?
One of the most amazing things that at least happened within this trip was, so they drill water, right? And they use water to clean, do all those things and all that. But one of the things that just was amazing to me was getting to see, they have these, they call them Christian, they call them the wash clubs. And when they call them wash clubs, it's basically like, hey, sanitation, but also even in terms of your soul. So Jesus is the source of living water.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some kids that were basically reciting memory verses. And so this is humanitarian work that is not devoid from, like, actually, like, where, you know, these children actually, like, they get to share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, there was also, like, as well, like, where we got to meet with pastors that are taking actually like that, the curriculum of like, man, like this is biblical, you know, Christianity, this is what. And so they get to work with churches in a way of actually like whether it's sanitation and or whether mm-hmm. it's like, but also just the whole idea of Jesus being the living water.
Mm-hmm.
Where at the end of the day, like drilling wells has become a lot more like, hey, what you really need to quench your thirst is not only just clean water. You need mm-hmm. Jesus, the source of living water.
Yeah, so, which is quite literally a modern day version of John 4.
Yeah, which is really exactly, yeah. So connecting it with my sermon, I think that's really now like when we're saying just like raising God-fearing children,
mm-hmm.
Is raising children with a God reference. I think that's mm-hmm. really just like, you know, God reference. And by saying God reference is just thinking about like, you know, growing our kids, working with them so that all that they're thinking through and they always have a reference to God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a creator. He made me, he redeemed me. And he is, even though I have all these other things, he is ultimately the one that I also need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like, that's at least like maybe an intersection for me.
Yeah.
For that. And it reminds me of just one thing. This is what Paul Tripp said in his book, Do You Believe on Doctrine? He says, parents, this is an important point for you. Your children in the public school system and at the university will be educated by brilliant and gifted teachers who know their subjects very well, but who largely think we have evolved beyond any need to hold on to the unprovable tenets of our ancient faith, right? Like, and so, and it says this means these experts cannot give your child an accurate view of the universe or an accurate view, a sense of who they are and what they should be doing, no matter how well these teachers communicate the facts of their subjects. Your children will also be entertained by systems that tend to have no time for the existence of God and few places of influence for those who do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a heightened position, responsibility for interacting from a biblical perspective with what your children are learning at school and viewing from popular media platforms. So what then really then is that parents we are called to raise our kids with a God awareness.
Yeah.
A God reference, God awareness, and at the same time, and that God reference and God awareness is that like, here is the fount that will quench all your thirst.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Grow up, go and work, do all the things that you can do, but Jesus is the source of your living water. So that's really just like what my main thing was like, even on Sunday, just saying that like, God, there's a call that like we should take seriously the responsibility to raise God-fearing children, which is like, mm-hmm. and then like there's a conviction. The conviction is that they were made to thrive.
Yeah.
And they cannot thrive apart from them being connected. Jesus is the vine. apart from them being connected to him,
mm-hmm.
They can thrive in each and every other way that society says this is what thriving is. But yet mm-hmm. at the same time, they need to have a God reference, right? They need to have a God reference. He made us. And then at the same time, like they now need to, and then so the context of that, and which is now like what for me becomes very important. The context of that is that if the society is preparing tables, which is schools and what do we say? James K. Smith says that there's portals or tables of formation,
mm-hmm.
Which is schools.
Yep.
The school halls, the stadiums, and not only that, like the social media, and if actually like there's all these portals of formation for these places, these tables, we also need to make sure we're setting a table for our children,
mm-hmm.
where at least we can actually now be bringing in, this is who God is. This is what God has done. This is who you were made, what you were made for. This is your purpose. This is what, yeah. So that's really just like at the end of the day, we've become probably like cultures lately that see children as a border, yet there are some cultures that actually take some of their most experienced people
mm-hmm.
and they give them to their children because for them that's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's yeah. legacy. And so that's just the kind of like looking at the vice versa, some of that, looking at the vice versa, some of that is just thinking, wow. What we need to be doing is actually thinking about like, man, this is our only one job, is to actually now move and be able to say, and what is the state of Christianity in the future? What is the state of Christianity? How can I teach my child to navigate through the mm-hmm. landmines of the world?
Yeah, yeah.
And the main thing is that I need to heed the call from God to raise godly children. Think about what the picture looks like. They were made to flourish, and it'll take patience. It'll take time. And then now the context, which is really now at the end of the day, where family worship comes in. And I just like a simple structure to that is just read the Bible, sing with your children, and pray with them. Mm-hmm. Right. That's yeah. really just yeah. like, yeah.
I think that you bring up a really, really good question, like, or just point about, you know, what does it look like to raise our children with a God reference? And yeah. it's a good way to do that is if you're sending your kids to public school,
mm-hmm.
make sure that you're talking about what they learned what in they, what yep, they yep, what they were yep. what they were taught in school. Like,
mm-hmm.
if anything, and you're you know, you have a really good teacher that's able to, and you know the teacher personally, because that's one of the cool things about the public school system.
Yeah.
Is the teachers are out in the community a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you get to know them and you're like, they're also a committed Christian and you know that that's where they're coming from, you know yeah. that they have a good foundation there. But even if you don't, you then get to reference them back to God.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that I always see or hear about, you know, with the world that I live in, which is apologetics,
mm-hmm.
there are so many people that are opposed to this little thing that was discovered by I think he was German, a German physicist, Georges Lemaître.
Yeah, yeah.
Called what subsequently by Fred Hoyle, who is an opponent of it, called it the Big Bang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where everybody's opposed to the Big Bang, or so many people are opposed to the Big Bang, when quite literally, the Big Bang needs a big banger, to quote Greg Kokel.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah.
embrace something like that. But that's a really good point that we can then, as parents, say, hey, this is a God reference that is not being taught in your school, but that's okay, because that's our job. Yeah. Our job is to give you these God references, so whenever you get to and you learn about something like the Big Bang, then you have a reference point to say, Like, my wife always quotes, God did that.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's like, hey, like, that's something that's really good and useful for us as parents. It's weird. We're kind of still weird saying that. but us as parents to, like, take that and be well informed as well. So not just what our kids are learning, but what is the world saying? How do we relate that to Christianity and our faith? And then with Paul Tripp saying the unprovable tenets of our ancient faith, it's like, well, then if the teachers don't think that, then let's give our kids some proofs for
it. Let's give them. There you go.
And then if you have any questions about that, come talk to me on Sunday.
There you go.
I'll give you a whole bunch of resources.
Yes. And so that's now like where my whole premise on Sunday was that you can't Hail Mary this. Like, and I was watching on Sunday, there was a game, I think it was Russell Wilson with the Broncos or something like that. He Hail Mary'd, like, and it was just like, but the crisis, it's a crisis kind of moment. The reason why you can't Hail Mary that is because your kids are inundated by, like, constantly being drowned in these narratives, these, like, these things. But we tend to think, and this is like what, like, I skipped on Sunday totally, like, and I was talking to Peter Swift, and he was like, man, why didn't you talk about that? And I was like, I totally skipped over it. We are the culture that tends to say, have you had the talk? Have you had the talk with our son? Have you ever talked about, like, and just like, so do you realize what that does? We just, we have become a culture that literally just like waits for one moment to talk and just have that one awkward talk about sexuality, about whatever it is. And then just like, and we're saying, that, but that's a Hail Mary mindset.
Do like, it once and you're good.
Yeah, do it once and you're good. I told him about the birds and the bees. I told him, but like, man, like, and but yet this is actually like when you sit down with your children and start asking them, hey, how often do people make kids make sexual jokes around you? How often do kids talk about this and that and that and that? And you will find out like this is actually where we usually get the quote unquote, oh, that's just locker room talk. Yeah, but like who's in the locker sometimes? It's our children. And you cannot bank on that one talk. You can't do that.
Well, yeah, especially because like if you want your children to have that open line of communication with you, if you don't have that open line of communication with them and model that and freely bring up these type of things multiple times, then they're not going to have the freedom to be like, well, mom, dad, in the hallway at school today,
this is what
happened. This is what I saw. You know, I saw this at the football game on Saturday over in the corner. I didn't know what to do with it. That, if you don't have that open line already established because you're modeling it, then don't, like, I would have a hard time saying, well, don't expect it. I'd have an easier time saying, well, don't expect them to come to you.
I will say that if you are not the influence in your child on multiple subjects that have to do with existence, period, someone is going to be they, and you're going to be an influence. But like you fight to be the influence. And how do we fight to be the influence? And this is now like at least like one of the things that I was going to say was us as parents need to overcome the insecurity of like, but I do not know. I think that's, that was one of the biggest thoughts from Sunday. But I don't know. I don't know enough. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know enough. I don't think I will. Like, and so there's that. That's the first obstacle. The second obstacle is, and I want to address both of these. The second obstacle is like, but they just won't understand they're tiny as yet. Right, like, so the first obstacle, I don't know enough. Recognize like the grace of God to you. You know, I just finished reading Jonah yesterday, and this is my tagline for Jonah usually. When God sends you on a mission, he's extending grace through you, but also to you.
Mm-hmm.
Go to God in your weakness. Just like this is what I said on Sunday. Just, I might blow it up. I just don't know. But like, go in weakness with the strength you have. Take a step forward. Number one, recognize God wouldn't give your children to you as a gift. If he doesn't actually also promise the wisdom and the grace for you to be able to lead them. Mm-hmm. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, children are a great source of that lead that should, if your faith is getting cold and you feel like, man, I don't know enough. And just like the grace that's there is that like 10, 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, just sit with your children, read a verse of the Bible, read mm-hmm. maybe a story of the Bible. There's a lot of like resources. Mm-hmm. Go on our website and listen. You will see that we've got resources for that. Read with them. If they ask a question that you really do not know, please. And this is also, your children also need to see you wrestle with this thing. Be able to say, that's a good question. I don't have the answer to that. Let me go do a little bit of homework. Can we revisit this question tomorrow? And I will tell you. And then ask your friends, ask your pastor, ask your, and you see what I mean? Like, don't yeah. wrestle. There's a reason why you are in Christian community. Hey guys, by the way, this question might just seem dumb, but like, I really like, my child asked me this question, what resources do you recommend? But do you realize what has happened there? Grace has come to your doorstep. Grace has come to you. Now this is an opportunity for you to grow.
Yeah.
And so in 20 years mm-hmm. time, God is like with you right now with Aaron. That's like if you literally had to walk with you and your children, what is the biggest question that's like, why does it say that? I've been so blessed with sometimes listening to my children. There's sometimes when I'm like, okay, are you going to rescue them? I'm like, no. I'm sitting in the car and they start talking about, like, for example, like listening to my son explain to an unbelieving friend of why communion exists. Why do we take communion?
Mm-hmm.
And then like we're talking about baptism and then his friend says, why do you guys do that? And then listening to that. And then he asked me, is that okay, Dada? And I'm like, yeah, that was really good. And me just having that proud moment. But then as well as like maybe just even getting to a point where there's sometimes when my son like would say, does God have a body? Like, why would God be three in one but you say he is one? Good questions. Let's dive into that. Let's actually like, you know, then really just like, and then be able to also say, but hey, son, some of these things you might never actually finally get it. Like if you expected that it's going to make sense as 1 + 1, it's not. But this is what faith is. And so we've been going through the Apostles' Creed. And so I'm like, I believe. What does it mean to believe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does belief have power without actually it being focused on the object of its faith? What is it? And like we talk through those things and like he feels back questions at me and we do. But what I've realized there is that like, and I'll tell you this, this has helped me so much be a better teacher at the church because I'm now having to explain questions. Hard questions to my children.
Yeah, and that was when I was going through teacher education at a local university, that was one of the things that they drilled into our heads was mm-hmm. the reason that we are teaching you all of these super advanced things. Like mm-hmm. it was the one thing that it was a math class and it was specifically geared for education majors to be able to teach the fundamentals of math.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not a math guy. Mm-hmm. I could have cared less, but the one thing that stuck with me with that class was I'm teaching you why 1 + 1 = 2, because if you don't know the why, you're not going to be able to teach a kindergartner that 1 + 1 = 2, because you now have the ability to distill it into just 1 + 1 = 2. But you know, you with the objection of I don't know enough, I think that's a really good way to kind of bring in like who's influencing your kid or what's influencing your kid. So if you're going to be, if you're going to be and you want to be that influence, also take into consideration, what are you doing at night whenever they're there? They're, let's say they're watching a TV show to kind of wind down the night. What do they see you doing while that's happening? Are you scrolling through your phone? Or do you have a book? Do you have a book and you're just reading? You're letting them have their time, and that you can use that as your time to read. But even though they might not be like hyper focusing on that or on what you're doing, they're still noticing on what you're doing. It's like, oh yeah, whenever like they get back to school the next day, it's like, well, what'd you watch last night? I watched Paw Patrol or something. Then, but my dad was on the couch sitting next to me reading his book. How many kids are able to say that their dad reads next to them? I have right in front of me the Christianity and Philosophy. It's like a Four Views book. How many children are able to say to their friends, my dad was reading a philosophy book while I was watching Paw Patrol? A theology book, or maybe even just a devotional. But like, even if it's only 10 pages a day, that's, if you multiply that by each day of the year, not including leap year, that's 14 and a half books that you can read in 1 year. And that's, and why not read them to your kids? And which then brings in that second objection that you brought up. My kids aren't intelligent enough to understand what I'm talking about. It's like, if you don't give them a reference, or if you don't let them wrestle with it, then you're not actually building their intelligence. That's one of the things, like, as a parent, you're also the primary teacher of worldview, life. Why do you have to learn 1 + 1 = 2? The teacher might kind of explain a little bit of that, but it's like, well, no, if I just go and I buy a whole bunch of things at the store, and I don't have enough money, that's why we're learning 1 + 1 = 2. Because I need to be able to do mental math and add super quick to make sure I don't overspend. But that's the stuff that the parents are supposed to be taking on for themselves as well, and to model what's being taught in school.
And the other thing as well is that, like, please, parents, let's not be scared to buy big shoes for our children, because that's what we do. We buy bigger shoes for our children because they're still growing. If you keep buying shoes that are fitting for your children, that means you're going to be buying shoes every month. We give them shoes that are bigger than their feet, because we know they will grow into them. That is the same when it comes to concepts. Our brains, and this is actually like, and I would also say this is exactly what we do as even, as adults. I sometimes have to pick up a book that is difficult to read, because the first time I just feel like putting it down. And my brain is hurting because I'm trying to. But the more you do it, and I remember my first year at Bible school, they introduced us to a philosophy book. I'm trying to remember who it was, a philosophy book, and I was like, "What on earth is this?"
It's probably
what,
like,
is it, you know,
Critique of Reason of Pure Reason by Kant or something like that.
No,
just like,
it
so
was
up
like,
and above everything and everything else.
Yeah, and in my introduction to philosophy, philosophical hermeneutics class, and they totally, you've seen that book, that like they took us through Kant. Like, they took us from Philo to all the way to Kierkegaard to Nietzsche to all this. And a lot of times you were reading that stuff and you were like, what on earth I don't even hear what he's saying. It's almost the same as like, there was one time my pastor took me and he just took me to a workshop at Dallas Baptist University. And you know who was speaking there? Alvin Plantinga. And I'm telling you.
I'm kind of jealous see Plantinga speak.
Now that I am remembering what that was, I'm actually ashamed of the fact that, like, when I was sitting there and I was like, what does this have to do with life, the gospel, with... I literally just walked out of there just saying, what the heck was that? Like, because I didn't, my brain had not grown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like, there were just things that, like, now when I listen to that whole talk that he gave, it makes so much sense. But, like, there was a time when it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that what my pastor was doing was buying big shoes for me.
Mm-hmm.
He paid for me to go see Alvin Plantinga. And that's like, you know what I mean? Like, and it just, mm-hmm. it's one of those things. And I remember just kind of walking out of there just saying, what, are we still talking about the same Christianity here? And then, but at the same time, later on, which is, so I think, so here's a challenge for both us. I think even as older people, we need to start really at least putting a repertoire, a book, even if it takes you a year to finish that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a book, a difficult book.
Yeah.
But then also be able to now start actually like plug-in resource. Like I just recently bought a small little book and we're going to probably be putting them also as well, like just to recommend. There's a little book called Tiny Systematics. Like, just you're introducing your children to theology or the ology. Like, just like books that are taking big truths and actually now you're teaching them to your little people. And eventually they're going to grow into those big shoes. That's really what,
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we, as adults, tend to look down on our kids because they don't understand the things that we do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then we need to challenge as we're challenging ourselves and challenging them. We're also growing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you read that difficult book, you're buying basically. To kind of use that same analogy, it's like you're buying a bigger skull for your brain to grow.
Yeah.
Like,
just like
even
muscles,
though, yeah, just like muscles, you have to break them down in order for them to grow. In order for us to grow in knowledge and understanding, we have to be challenged and we have to be okay with saying, I'm okay with not knowing, but I'm going to keep searching.
Yeah.
And. Yeah. You know, just like I brought up the Big Bang at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't have Christian implications.
Yeah.
So if you have a question about it or you don't actually believe what I'm saying about it, like it need the Big Bang needing a Big Banger, then that's a really good opportunity.
Yeah.
For you to go search it out yourself.
Yeah.
Do some reading. Do some research. You're going to be benefited from it, and because you're benefiting from it, so are your kids.
Your kids will benefit. Yeah, yeah. So that's just basically, it's once again the growth. You know, the growth part of it. You will only see that, and that's I think another obstacle is just like the whole idea that like. Is this even making a difference?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still see my kids acting up and disobeying and doing all that stuff. But yet we want like we want quick returns. And so just like really like we're just like it's one of those things where it's like if you're thinking that. It just, you're equipping your children for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Train up a child, train up a child, train up a child. And then eventually, like, but if you give up simply because they just didn't take it, it's almost like people that stop actually serving a certain type of food because the children rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you know vegetables are good for them. And but
I still haven't understood that.
Well, but it's just that whole idea of actually like, hey, slowly. That's why I like at least like family worship for me. It's mm-hmm. just the whole idea of like, don't try to do extraordinary things. Don't try to run an hour, 2 hour Bible study. Don't try to like just small, slow little steps. A journey mm-hmm. for 1,000 what? Steps begin with one step, two steps, and it's just one of those things of like, okay. And but when at least is that truth gonna come through and click?
Mm-hmm.
We like to see the harvest right there and there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, trust God with the results.
Yeah, well, you can't harvest if you don't sow, but you also can't harvest if you don't garden.
Yeah, and so you have to play a long game.
Yeah, and but it's the same thing, not just with our, yes, especially with our kids,
mm-hmm.
but also in, like Larry and I were talking
yeah.
last week about evangelistic settings.
Yeah.
That's how we should also be looking at our evangelistic settings and opportunities. Don't always expect to harvest that person.
Yeah.
And bring them into the family. You might not be that person. You might just be the gardener. It might, yeah. And you might be one of the many rotating gardeners in that person's life, but there is going to be that one person that is going to harvest. And then whenever we get to heaven, we see that person and they attribute so much of why they're in heaven to you.
Yeah.
Yep. And how much more is it going to be like that with our kids? As a dad, I'm like, I want Arwen to be like, the biggest influence in me becoming a follower of Christ is my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Joe Schmo out on the street that I saw preaching on the street corner.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's always going to mean time.
Mm-hmm. You have 18 years plus with them.
Yeah. But that's always going to mean... That's why I like... what was it? There's an app called Think Orange. And this is now like... Let me kind of just like...
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so Think Orange... there's an app. And when... and in that app, what it does is that, like, it just kind of just gets you, I think what it does is that it gets you to get an app, and that app, you can now put your child in there,
mm-hmm.
and once you put your child in there, you can be, and it's just like... You can put your child in there, and it just tells you, hey, you've got this many days until they graduate high school. And so
I don't want to think about that.
So, but it's like almost like a marble jar.
Yeah.
Like, it's like take all these marbles, count however many of them, and every single day you're adding one marble to that until they actually, they're going to leave. So what you have to be thinking about is... It's just thinking about like, okay, every single day is a touch worth making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like every single day. Let me take time. Let me study with them. Let me talk with them. Let me just do that. And so don't miss out on just a strong, resilient, strong, God-fearing children. Probably more as a result of 1,000 or maybe 1 billion mundane moments of walking with your children rather than a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the statement. Right. Right. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
What you think is actually just like, oh, that just, man, as you go, make disciples of your children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you're driving to the store, you can actually be able, why dad did that happen? Why did, and just have conversations. Mm-hmm. And I like catechisms because catechisms are very like, you're asking questions and you're firing all their engines.
Mm-hmm.
And let them think through and talk through. That's one of the reasons why I like catechisms, because you can be able to like, hey, so who made the world?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know God made the world? Why do you think he made the world?
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you so special? There's a dog. Hey, did you just see that dead deer over there that we just drove by? What if that was a human being? What do you think would have happened to them? So what makes a human being so special?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that like human beings and deer cannot be treated the same? Why, you see what I mean? Asking questions, cultivating.
Yeah.
Poof, fire the engine.
The one thing we don't want to do is, I'm going to use a buzzword here, indoctrinate.
Yeah.
We don't want to indoctrinate our children to think and be like reproductions of ourselves.
Yeah.
We want them, because they have their own mind, they're their own person. We want to be able to foster critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
One of the, and you know, we have a whole bunch of people that are homeschooled or homeschooling families, and I know a whole bunch of them outside of this that are, they're so angry at the public school system and just like in-person schools that they're not teaching them to critically think. It's like, well, then take that as an opportunity for you to teach them to critically think.
Yeah.
And don't leave the education completely up to the schools. Let them teach the hard subjects. If you can critically think, you can teach your kids to critically think.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to critically think, that's, again, going back to what we were talking about, read a hard book, engage your mind in critical thinking so that you can then teach your kids to critically think.
That's good.
But I don't want to belabor this. We could keep talking so much longer on this. Just me being a first-time dad. It's like these type of things, like I want to talk about them because I'm getting ideas and I'm learning, but this is also, you know, just a good example of critically engaging with somebody that has the experience that you don't, to be able to learn from them and take ideas and try them out, bounce them off somebody else, whatever it might be. But at the same time, this podcast is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon or being involved in a local church. So please get involved in a local church. If you're in Williamsport and you don't have a local church, we would love to meet you and to be your church home. So with that being said, Raphael, thank you so much for, you know, giving us a good foundation for teaching our kids and being disciplers of our kids.
Yeah.
Because that's one of our number one calls within this life, is to be fruitful and multiply, and that includes not just making children, but discipling them as well.
Yeah.
So, again, Raphael, thank you so much for that through Psalm 128. We'll see you all next week. Have a blessed week.